service on Penasque Lane to show light of Christ candles, we hear these words of Jesus who said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Let us give thanks and worship. And we're going to sing Arise, Shine. And just remain seated as we sing. Gifts and talents that allow us to give glory to you and provide good to our neighbors. As we enter this time of worship, ignite us in the creative gifts that you've poured into our being. Help us to lift our voices in praise of who you are as our God. As we hear your word, remind us of the kaleidoscope of color and shade, geometry and texture found in nature all around us. Lord, we ask you to forgive us when we forget how amazingly you have created our bodies to function, the gift of breath, the gift of immunity, the gift of healing, the gift of oxygenation of our major organs, the gift of skin, the gift of sight and sound, feeling and taste and touch, and even our ability to speak or to shed tears of joy or tears in sorrow. Set us free from the prison of grudging hearts, mean desires, resentful spirits, and judgmental attitudes. Give us the courage to act with justice and generosity, and draw us into loving relationship with others that does not keep score. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." And the peace of Christ be with each of you.
And also with you.
Thank you. And just, we'll wave to one another and just give our greetings for this morning. And I know that many of you have placed your offerings in the offering plate at back, and so we'll ask the lady so she can grab that as we sing the doxology today, Robert, or is it we give thee by thy own? We give thee by thy own. We pray that as these gifts are given, they may be used to help many and to continue to be a source of encouragement and to encourage people to know of your great love for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Perfect because it's rather misshapen, but it made this doily. And it was a gift to my aunts when I came back. I wanted to give them something to say how much I cared for them. And so I made this. And, you know, interestingly enough, on the back, it looks pretty uniform. Like you almost can see the pattern the same as you can on the front. And it was a very time-intensive thing to do. And if I can just let you pass this around, you'll see on the edge here the mesh that I actually had to pull each piece of wool through in order to make that particular item. And then another project that I started when I started theology was Pitcher. It's an English scene, and it has been 20 years in making. There are hundreds of thousands of stitches in this. And I find that when I have a moment, which isn't very often, usually it's when I'm on holidays, I'll take out my thread and I will start to work on this particular picture. And I brought this because it reminds me that God sees this. He sees us as we're being made. But when I look at it, this is what I see. I see all the broken threads, all the mess. And do you ever feel sometimes like your life is a bit of a mess? And you don't see the picture that's being evolved. But when you turn it the other way, quite a different picture. And so I was thinking today, because we're going to talk about creativity, but I have a question for you. What projects are you working on? What things do you make with your hands?
I just finished a math down for my great-grandchild.
Okay. And how many colors were in your math hand, Dorothy?
It's a wave pattern, and there's three purples.
Are there? Okay.
What's the favorite color?
Yes. And how big an afghan was it? Was it for putting around yourself to keep warm?
Well, I'm calling it a love blanket to you. So when you put it around, then it's kind of love. Yes.
Absolutely. And you know, I've got quilts that my aunt made that I still have on my bed. And every time I get in bed, I'm thankful for that quilt. Keeps me warm. That's lovely. Other projects, things do you work on?
I don't do crafts. I just do cooking and bake and gardening.
That's right. And that too is very creative and imaginative. I was looking at the pot that I bought, a couple of planters and a couple of hanging baskets on Friday, and I thought somebody has taken the time to actually, in their head, create this assortment of flowers. And when you're out in your garden, Marilyn, you're looking at, you know, what's here, what's there, do I move things around, do I plant new things? You're creating, you're using this God-given imagination. And I don't know about any of you, but when you cook, some of you will follow a recipe exactly, which it takes creative energy too. But how many of you just kind of throw this and throw that in? It mixes up and voila, you have something that's very unique. Yeah. Any other things that you've done in the past or that you're working on now?
I was going to say last year was our 50th, and so I have 7 history books. Whoa. The children are fighting over who wants them, of course. But I went and did the history for my family, Brian's family. I love doing that.
Yeah.
So now I can just add to it all the time. That was a big...
Oh, that would be a huge project,
yeah,
Elise.
A huge project.
And is it with pictures,
yeah,
and written,
yeah,
information,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
just to give,
yeah,
all the history?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, there's 7 of books.
That is amazing.
It's going to look after it.
Absolutely amazing.
Anyway,
yeah.
I love doing that. So.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Gary.
Well, 4 members seated near the back of the church are working on a little project, and Dorothy, Eugene, and I are working on a little project involving Indian artifacts have been found, tremendous number have been found in this area. And we want to make sure that something is documented in photos and in text. A modest little publication before death intervenes and it's all forgotten.
Yeah, and you know, when you can document things like that, they're not forgotten. If nobody did anything, they wouldn't be known by the next generation.
Unfortunately, that's the case.
Yeah, but that is wonderful. What a creative, imaginative project that is. What are some of the things that have been discovered, Gary?
Well, the whole gamut, really, when you start to investigate, all the way from mixing bowls to what were called skinning stones or celts.
Yes.
And of course, different types of knives, trade pipes that the settlers and so on would pass on to the Indians.
Yeah.
White clay trade pipes, a number of them have been found in the area.
Wow.
Well, actually, the whole gallery.
Isn't that marvelous? Yeah. Very creative. Wonderful. Wonderful. And will affect generations down the road, right? Not just our generation here.
What slows us up, of course, is the pandemic.
I think that's influenced a lot of creative projects,
exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
You know, you think of churches where women would get together to do the quilt beads, where they would make the quilts together, and all of those kind of things had to stop for COVID. It has been very hard. Anyone else?
I think you make women look beautiful.
I am glad you mentioned that, Sharon. Exactly. Every head you cut, Elaine, you're creating. And you're making people beautiful. Absolutely. And that takes imagination, too. I'm sure sometimes people come in and you think, oh, no.
Actually, don't have any of them. Sometimes I have a great
time. Well, that's good. That's wonderful. Yeah. Anyone else? All right. Well, let's pray and thank God for the creative abilities he's given each of us. Lord, we are so grateful for imagination and the ability to be able to imagine and create. And whether we follow a recipe or cut hair, or whether we are documenting artifacts, or whether we're doing flowers, whatever it might be that we're creating, we thank you for the ability that you've given us to create. And you, as Creator God, have passed that on to us, and we're very grateful. Bless each one in the creative ventures that they engage in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and Elaine, I'll have you come forward as we do our scripture readings for this morning.
Do you need me to help you?
I think I've done this one before.
Oh, you just have to hold it.
Yeah, just hold it.
Our responsive reading this morning is Psalm 104, verses 24 to 35. It's page 555. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there. Living things both small and great.
There go the ships, and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it.
Those are left to you to give them their food in due season.
When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works.
Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being.
May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Next reading is Genesis 1, verses 1 to 5 and 20 to 31, which is on page 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth, on the ground, of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Our final reading is from Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. "You were dead through the trespasses and sins, in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life.
That was a long reading. You did very, very well. When I was writing those scriptures down, I thought, oh, I have pity for whoever is going to be reading. You did extremely well, because there's a lot of repeated words and changes in tense, and yeah, there's a lot there. Good work. Very well done. One of the first truths that we learn about God as we come to church and begin to hear about him is that he is a creator, and therefore creative. And I think, as Elaine read to us this morning, you have the sense that not only did God form us in his image, but he also made us creative too. When God formed the universe, he could have made a boring environment that was all one color with no texture or geometry figures, but he didn't do that. He made the world very diverse. He shaped majestic mountains and scenic lakes, vast oceans, and awe-inspiring deserts. And he incorporated multiple colors, amazing patterns, unusual animals and plants. If any of you have ever looked at a close-up of what a bee looks like, or any tiny creature that's in our world, it's amazing when you really see how each thing in the world has been created and made. Instead of a drab world, he created beauty, and inspiration comes to each one of us in the beauty that we see all around us. When we experience a hike in the forest, or as we watch animals graze close by our homes, or as we drive through the countryside and see the vastness of the fields as they begin to grow, it is something good for each of us. If you had to live in the confines of your home, and that was the only environment that you were in day out, I doubt that you would have the same zest for life as when you can get out and see the world that God has made. This week, I had the opportunity to visit a friend of mine in a new area of Ontario that I do not know very well at all. It was Ajax. Now, Ajax, Ontario, to me, is nothing more than a spot on the 401 highway between Toronto and Kingston, where my niece is attending university. It's a blur. It's part of that busy corridor out of Toronto, and I really had no interest in knowing much about Ajax. But as I arrived at my friend's home, and as we headed down to Lake Ontario, I discovered Ajax. Well, there was a pickering plant. The nuclear plant was very close by. You could see it. But it was beautiful. And there are miles and miles of bike paths along Lake Ontario. There are many parks that have been created for people to enjoy. And we had the chance, can you believe it, to actually get ice cream. It was a warm day. And we sat at a picnic bench and looked at it at Lake Ontario. What a beautiful view. And you know, I didn't want to leave. I don't normally feel that way, but as I looked at the water, it's been such a long winter. And as I sat in the warmth of the sun, I just thought, I really would just like to stay. But what happens? As the day goes on, the sun goes across the sky, and gradually the evening shadows begin to come, and it beckons us to move on and to be expected for the next day and what it might bring. Have you ever felt the awe of God as you watch the sky change into a glorious sunset? I always said to Bob, if I ever have to get a home that's my dream home, it would look over the west. Because sunrises are gorgeous, and Bob and I have done some sunrises on the beach south in Georgia, but sunsets to me are just a cascade of color and symphony to the end of the day. And it just gives me a feeling of hope and encouragement as I head to rest for that night. And it changes very subtly, but it can come fairly quickly. You know, the sun sets at quite a rate, and before long, we're in the shadows of night. I am so glad that God is a creator, but he also speaks to us in unusual other ways of creation, some of which we talked about today. George Frederick Handel was a German musician and composer. The rulers of England paid him to compose music for celebrations, musical productions, and worship. And one of Handel's most famous works, which one do you think I'm talking about, is The Messiah. That's right, Bob. You know that well. And it's about the life of Christ and includes orchestra, choirs, and solos. Handel wrote The Messiah in 24 days during the summer of 1741, alone in a room. A servant overheard Handel say, "I do think I did see all heaven before me and the great God himself." And when we hear the Hallelujah chorus, we can almost feel like we're getting a glimpse of heaven. That is God's creative work being manifested. But there are some other examples of God's creative work. Consider anesthesia. How would you like to be operated without it? I dare say none of us would like that experience. But this is the way it was until a Scottish doctor named James Young Simpson introduced something that he called artificial sleep. As a student at Edinburgh University, he was attracted to surgery because he was troubled by the pain and mortality rates experienced during operations. As a result of reading, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam" in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, Simpson thought chloroform might be the answer. He first experimented on himself. Finally, in 1847, the first three operations with chloroform took place. One of the patients, a young soldier, enjoyed it so much that he seized the sponge and inhaled it again and said, "It was too good to stop." At first, Simpson encountered opposition. Some thought it was a sin to intervene with nature. "Hand me the Bible," Dr. Simpson said. "This is how God operated on Adam." Simpson made speeches, wrote letters and pamphlets, and tried to convince those who opposed him that this was the way forward. In a setback, when three deaths were attributed to chloroform, from other hospitals, Simpson was able to show that they had not applied the anesthesiologist's work properly. The tide turned with Queen Victoria gave birth to her eighth child under chloroform and declared that she was greatly pleased with the effect. It's amazing what it takes to change people's minds. But you know, God was also involved in the creation of Braille. In 1824, Louis Braille, a Christian, invented a system of raised dots on paper so that blind people could read. He invented 63 symbols representing every language, hence God's word was placed in the hands of the visually impaired for the first time. And what about communication? In part, we owe our cell phones and our computers to the invention of a Christian by the name of Samuel Morse. How different the world would be without him. First class news took 2 weeks to reach the USA on most busy days, and reports of a major victory could take 6 weeks to reach Britain. One day a friend said, "Morse, when you were experimenting, did you ever come to an absolute deadlock, not knowing what to do?" Morse replied, "More than once." His friend asked him, "What did you do then?" Morse shared a secret. "I got down on my knees and prayed for light, and light came. And when my inventions were acknowledged by flattering honors from America and Europe, I said, 'Not unto me, O Lord, not unto me, but unto thy name give the glory.'" That's why the very first message sent by Morse code across the transatlantic read, "What God has wrought." Because he was a strong Christian. Now, I have another Christian named Louis Pasteur. A French scientist who showed us that infection is the result of things we cannot see, namely germs and viruses. And he introduced sterilization methods that eventually saved the lives of multitudes. In What the World Owes to Christians, Dr. Victor Pierce, an Oxford scholar, shares the story of the typewriter. Yes, a Christian did invent the typewriter. And do you know why the typewriter was created? To help people like me. To help in the writing of sermons. Seriously, it's true. Christopher Scholes was concerned about his pastor who had been busy all week visiting victims of an epidemic, comforting the bereaved, and conducting funerals. Consequently, he had no time to write his sermons for Sunday. One day, Scholes, discussing with a friend what could be done, said, "It seems a pity that there aren't some quick methods of writing for busy folks, like ministers." His friend replied, "Why not a better machine?" Scholes responded, "I'll try." That rainy afternoon was the beginning of months of hard work. Finally, a group assembled one day to see him type out on a sheet in capital letters, "C. Lambeth Scholes, November 1867. 6 years later, the Remingtons recognized the typewriter as something that could revolutionize business. In those days, clerks were mostly men, but the Young Women's Christian Association started offering courses in typing for women. Initially, it created a scandal, but as the first typists became trained women, employees rushed to hire them. Hence, the typewriter and the YWCA determined that a woman's place was not only at home, but could also be in the office. Creative ideas, creative people that took a problem that they saw at hand and created a way to solve it or created joy and pleasure for others, whether it be music, whether it be something like a typewriter. And creative people have been using their talents for God as far back as the beginning of time. Musicians, and we read this often in the Old Testament, would lead God's armies into battle, playing a trumpet instead of carrying a sword took courage. At the dedication of the rebuilding of the Wall of Jerusalem, two large choirs and orchestras highlighted the celebration. Following the Israelites' escape from Egyptian captivity, God commanded Moses to build a tabernacle. The people donated their jewelry, cloth, precious metals, and stones. And craftsmen with skill and ability were to head up the construction and design. Women were also involved with weaving, embroidery, sewing ropes for the priests, and making curtains to separate areas of the tabernacle. Exodus says that the people were willing to do all the work, but effort was involved. You know, I think some people are afraid to use their talent for God, fearing what other people will think, and maybe even make fun of them. But if we're willing, God will use us to create, inspire, and we'll have the courage to do it. Many people want to have success immediately when they begin their creative interests. But like me, I've learned they have to start with the basics. Musicians have to know the foundations of chords and rhythms. Builders have to know engineering concepts to keep structure strong. And artists must know the fundamental elements of color and shading. Writers and speakers need to know grammar basics. While it may seem boring at the time, learning the basics is necessary to master a skill, even if you do have talent. Trying to learn from people who've mastered their skill is a gift that God gives to us also. And exercising our talent takes discipline. If you're a musician, you have to practice. I can remember Bob. You know, we'd sit here and we'd enjoy hearing him play. He, in that introduction this morning, he went up and down the keyboard, and I always love when he does that. And I think, wow, what ability. But you know, I grew up with Bob.
That's right.
And I can remember many a piano practice, hearing the piano, the Heisman piano in the basement of our house, pounded upon as he was learning chords and notes. And it isn't something that he came to without a whole lot of practice. And we're the benefactors of all of that hard discipline that you put forward. And I can even remember when you were doing your ARCT exam, and the music he had to play was absolutely incredibly difficult. And to be perfectly honest, rather disturbing. Can you remember any of the chords of those pieces you had to play, Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, they were clashy and they made no sense at all. You couldn't kind of go by ear. You had to really play by the music. And you know, if you're a painter, a sculptor, a woodworker, you have to keep trying. Every project gives you a chance to try something new. And writers must write. I can remember finishing my degree at Knox College, and as I cleared off my desk and my filing cabinets of all the paper, I think I showed this to you, Bob, I had a pile like that of sermons and essays. It was huge, but it was to train me so that I would be able to create a sermon every week for a congregation. If I hadn't had that teaching, I would grow weary very quickly. And I would challenge anybody who would like to be a minister to come up with an essay every week that is not only exciting and invigorating, but has the Word of God in it, to do that and to see the hours and hours that it takes of training to be able to actually do this. And I am no expert. Oh my goodness. I feel like I'm still way back in the starter's seat. I have so much yet to learn as I work through the years of practice just to be able to provide a sermon in a congregation. But you know, when God gives us the inspiration to create, we shouldn't wait we should act. Because part of the creative process is to be obedient to God with the gifts that he's given to us. And very often, if we don't act on the inspiration to create that we have, what happens? Yeah, we lose it. We just become, oh, well, I'll try that another day. And creative things can also prevent us from discovering and creating our gifts and talents that are still yet to be discovered. I think exhaustion, and particularly COVID exhaustion, has prevented people from being creative. You know, it just seems like it's taken so much energy just to get through and survive through the tasks of the day that many people are too exhausted to create or to think of how they can problem solve through an issue with a creative solution. And when we stay busy all the time and don't rest, our minds aren't as sharp. Technology also robs us of creative energy. And it is amazing how much time we spend scrolling through Facebook or social media or the news, which could otherwise have been used for creative pleasures. And another big creative roadblock is pride. Having to do it perfectly the first time. I think we learn more from our mistakes than we ever do from our perfection. So talent is a gift, and we need to be thankful to God for giving us as his people the ability to create. And you might say, well, Carol, I don't really have any creative energy today. Well, here are some ways to discover the creative energy that may still be hidden within you. First of all, you could read something that you wouldn't normally read. When I'm doing my counseling, many times with young people, I send them off to the local library to find a book that they have never read before or to find something of interest that they've never thought of before. And they have to report back to me what they found. It's interesting what they discover in the library. Secondly, listen to different types of music. You might discover something different. Thirdly, write your thoughts and ideas in a journal so they won't be forgotten. Fourthly, look at art. Fifthly, think of things your parents or grandparents were good at. You might be too. Sixthly, not all creativity involves music or visual arts. And as we talked about this morning, are you good at organizing or at math? Are you good at cleaning or creating? Are you good at fundraising? Are you good at gardening? Seventh, pray and ask God to reveal your gifts and talents. Eighth, list anything that's easy for you. See if there's any patterns that emerge. Ninth, incorporate your strengths in creative ways. And lastly, take a class on something new and see what creative things emerge from your new skill. Let everything within me praise the Lord. May God receive the glory for all the creative things that we are able to achieve. And may the world be blessed also. Amen. Amen. Will you bow your heads as we pray this morning? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for creating us in your image, an image that embraces new ideas and creative imaginations. As we have pondered you as Creator God, we have also been stirred to consider the creative gifts and talents you have given to us. For some of us, we have allowed those gifts to gather dust, like the musical instrument we learned in school, which has long been abandoned in the back of a closet, the paint brushes that are dried and crusted from lack of use for so many years, the needlepoint project that was started but never finished, the table or bird feeder that stands half-made in the woodshed, the recipes that have been saved but never tried, The unread books on a bookshelf. The unread stories of our family heritage. The desire to invite another to dinner, but COVID apathy has prevented an invitation being offered. Our time spent scrolling through social media or news apps rather than time spent writing a card or participating in a car wash fundraiser. Lord, as we leave this place, motivate us to consider the creative energy you have granted to us and to use it for your honor and glory. And help us to not leave all the creative efforts needed to reignite our vision as a church congregation to the same select few who have worked so hard to keep us inspired during these 2 long years of COVID. Lord, we lift up to you those in need of a healing touch from you. We think of Roger and Janice and Bill and others in our circle of friends and family who are struggling with illness. We pray for Louise and for Nancy's family also, that you would lay your hand of healing upon them and restore them to wholeness and health. We also pray for our session as they meet this week to consider ways in which we can embrace the call you have placed upon us as a congregation to preach your word, to care for those who are struggling in body, mind, and spirit, and to proclaim the good news of the gospel near and far. Thank you for the many hands that helped in the plant sale and auction of this past week. Lord, as we prepare to begin a new week, give us moments of rest when we can stop and take in the beauty of nature all around us. Allow us opportunities to listen to the birds sing, to sink our hands into the earth as we plant, to appreciate the milk of our cows and the meat provided by animals we raise, and help us to give you all of the glory as we work and enjoy leisure time in the week ahead. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Lord, we invite you to turn to your bulletins as we sing our closing hymn, a wonderful hymn of the Christian Church, "On Worthy Thou Art."
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a good week, everyone.